Renan Chalak, Kobi Nissim, and Enav Weinreb. I highlighted the name of Enav because he prepared most of my slides today. So what is the private approximation and why do we need it? So suppose Alice and her boss each have an input and they want to compute some functions of the input. So Alice suggests to her boss to compute the function, and the boss answers that no, you'll learn too much information on my input. So this is the secure function evaluation protocol. And the Alice, which attended some crypto class, answers, yes, we can use secure function evaluation, and I won't learn more information on your input. So the boss says he heard about it. He hasn't, but let's assume he has. And he says, yes, I heard about it, but the function we want to compute is inefficient. We cannot compute it efficiently, so we cannot use the secure function evaluation protocol. So Alice, again recalling her algorithm course, says we can approximate F. There's an approximation algorithm, and we can run the secure function on the approximation F star. So the boss is suspicious, and he says he doesn't know. So is the boss right to be suspicious? So what can go wrong? So the approximation F star can reveal Bob's input. Let's see an example. Let's see a simple example of F of 134 and 285 is 64. And a good approximation will return an answer that is less than 65. Let's say 64.285. So this is bad because it reveals the Bob input. Another example, the answer is 26, and you can guess what the output will be, 26.121. So an approximation to the value of the function can leak a lot of information on Bob's input. So this looks like an actual example, but approximation algorithms do reveal a lot of information about the input. So it's not a natural thing. And so there are two fields in computer science, one big field of approximation algorithms and another field in cryptography of secure function evaluation. And we should take care, if we want to combine them, we should take care of how we do that. So the boss was right to be suspicious. And what I'm going to do in this talk, first we'll start with some background and previous work. Then I'll give definitions of private approximation for search problems. I will prove impossibility result of private approximation of the vertex cover problem. To bypass the impossibility results, we'll discuss algorithms that leak little information. And for that, I'll present positive results for the max-sat relation. Then I'll won't have too much time, so I'll mention what happens for search problems in P, and I'll end with some conclusions and open problems. So private approximation, so the observation that the combination of the secure function evaluation and approximation algorithm is problematic was made by Feigenbaum, Ishai, Malki, Nissim, and Strauss and Wright, and they defined when F star is a private approximation of a function F. So the first thing, it has to be an approximation. So F star should be an approximation of F, and F star should not give more information about X than F of X gives. So they gave a definition via simulators. I'll give something that is implied by the definition. So the privacy definition says that if F of X and F X prime is the same, so the value of the approximation, F star of X and F star of X prime, should be indistinguishable. So the approximation function can be randomized, and we want the output on the two inputs to be indistinguishable. And if F star would have been, if F star is a deterministic function, we simply say that it has to be equal. So this is a definition of Fagerman et al. And Fagerman et al. Gave positive results. The first considered the Hamming distance. Alice and Bob each hold it n bit strings, and they want to compute the Hamming distance between the two inputs. And they presented a private approximation a protocol for that problem, sending a square root of n bits. And this was improved to polylog by Indyk and Woodruff. And the second result of Fagerman et al., they consider the permanent function, and they give a private approximation protocol for this problem, which runs in polynomial time. So we are happy, there are positive results. Before I continue, I want to say that there are two flavors of this result. The first result, we know that there exists an algorithm for the Hamming distance problem. We know that there is an algorithm, it will be polynomial and require polynomial time communication. The private approximation achieves a sublinear communication. The permanent, we know it's infeasible to compute the permanent in polynomial time, so the private approximation bypasses the infeasibility of the computation. So if we bypass the impossibility for the permanent, the question, what happens to NP-complete hard functions, NP-hard functions? So a Levy, Kraut, Gamer, Cushy, Levitz, and Nissim consider the question, what happens to private approximation of NP-hard functions? In particular, they consider the vertex cover function and will consider it in, I will talk about it in my talk, so let's recall the problem. The input is the undirected graph G, and the set C, the vertex cover, if for every edge in the in the graph, at least one of its vertices are in the cover. So the set of vertices cover the edges of the graph, and Alevi et al. Considered the functional version of the problem, where the approximation algorithm has to return the size of the minimum vertex cover or approximate the size of the minimum vertex cover. In our talk, we'll discuss the search version of this problem where we have to return the vertex cover itself. So Halevi et al. Considered an abstract client-server model. The server holds the graph G, it computes a small vertex cover, and it sends its size to the client. So this is a server client model. It can be, it might be considered interesting by itself as you want to get answers to questions from a server, but its motivation is from the multi-party multi-party model. So impossibility in this after client server model imply impossibility in the multi-party model, where the graph G is shared amongst the parties of the system. So this is impossibility result, and the possibility also follows if we have a possibility in this model of private approximation, so using the secure function evaluation protocols, one can transform it into protocol in the multi-party setting. So this abstract client model is an abstraction of what goes in a multi-party model. Okay? So Halevi et al. Gave, unfortunately, impossibility results. Actually, I believe that algorithms exist only to prove that the lower bounds are tight, so I'm not sure if it's unfortunately, but they proved impossibility result. They proved that if NP is not contained in BPP, there's no polynomial time private approximation algorithm for vertex cover, but even algorithm with a very poor approximation ratio of n to the power of 1 minus epsilon. So recall that in the non-private setting, there's a two approximation algorithm. In the private setting, there's no non-trivial algorithm. So they have a technique for proving in possibility results, and they're proving possibility results for many other complete functions, the max sat, vertex cover in planar graphs, and many other problems. Okay, so this completes the background and previous work. Let's start with what we do in this work. We define the private approximation of search problems. So first I want to compare search problems to functions. In functions, there's one output for every input. In the search problems, there are possibly many solutions for one input. So for example, in the vertex cover, there can be many vertex covers in one graph, minimum vertex covers. So the question is, what is the right definition of privacy for search problems? In the function case, we said the two inputs should be protected if the output of the function is the same. What types of input should not be distinguished by the output in the search problem? So it's not clear, and we give a minimal definition of the inputs that should be protected. So I'll start with defining what is the privacy with respect to a relation, and then I'll define the relation related to search problems. So we have an equivalence relation, and this equivalence relation specifies which pairs of inputs should be protected. And we have an A, which is a probabilistic algorithm, and we say that A is private with respect to the relation R. If we take two inputs from the same equivalent class, we take them and execute the algorithm A on both of them. So A is a probabilistic algorithm. We want the output of the output to be indistinguishable in polynomial time. So this is the definition of private approximation with respect to a relation. And what is the relation we consider? So let P be a search problem, and S of X is a set of solutions for an input X. So we say that X is equivalent to Y with respect to P. If X and Y have the same set of solutions, that is Sx is equal to Sy. This is the definition of the relation for a search problem. So let's give an example of the vertex cover. The search version, two graphs are equivalent if they have the same set of minimal vertex covers. In other words, a set C is a minimum vertex cover in G1 if and only if it's a minimum vertex cover in G2. So this is the definition. So are there equivalent graphs? So of course there are. Let's see a simple example. I'll take two graphs. In this graph I added an edge between the vertex 3 and 6. And the two vertex covers in this graph must contain the vertex 3 and must contain exactly one of 2 and 5. So the vertex covers are 2 and 3, and 3 and 5 in both cases, so these two inputs are equivalent. So actually, the way that we constructed the two inputs, since 3 must be in the vertex cover of this graph, we can add any edge to this graph and get an equivalent graph. So that's one way to construct equivalent graphs. And we say that an algorithm A is private approximation algorithm for vertex cover. First of all, it had to approximate. It had to be an approximation algorithm for vertex cover. And for two graphs that are equivalent with respect to vertex cover, the output of the algorithm should be indistinguishable on these two graphs. So this is the definition for two graphs. And the question is, can this be done efficiently? So I told you in my first slide that it cannot. We prove it cannot be done efficiently. So what you can ask me if a Levy et al. Didn't prove that. So why one can think that a Levy et al. Proved that? So in the non-private setting, if you have an algorithm that solves a search problem, you can if it gives an approximated vertex cover, you can return it to the size. So in the non-private computation, with stating that in the counterpositive side, if you have infeasibility results for the functional version of a problem, this implies infeasibility of the search problem. This is why that in complexity class, we deal with decision problems and not with search problems. But this is not true for the private computation. So look at these two graphs. The equivalent when we consider the functional version. The size of the minimum vertex cover in both graphs is 2. What happens when we consider the search problem? They're not equivalent. 2-4 is the vertex cover in this case, but not in this case. So an algorithm for the search problem can return different answers on this problem. Specifically, the size of the answer can be different. So it won't. So taking the size of the answer returned by the search problem does not respect the privacy for the functional version. And in general, the functional version of a problem and the search version are incomparable. In the search problem, you have to your task is harder. You have to return input, but the privacy requirement is weaker. So these two things are not equivalent. So we cannot use the infeasibility of the functional version directly to imply the infeasibility of the search problem, but can we use the techniques? Can we use the techniques of the law of Levy et al. To prove the infeasibility for the search version? And the answer is no. Levy et al. Rely on the fact that there are few equivalence classes for the functional version. For a graph of size n, there can be at most n plus 1 values of the size of the vertex cover. However, for search problems, there's a huge number of equivalent classes. So the techniques used by Levy et al. Cannot be used directly in our case. So let's go to show how we do prove the feasibility of search problems. So the first result, that if P is not equal to NP, there's no deterministic polynomial time private approximation algorithm for vertex cover in the search version, and this is a non-trivial approximation algorithm. So what I'm going to give you, I will try to give Nelly the complete proof of this result, and I'll give a proof that will appear in the upcoming TCC. And it will use a slightly stronger assumption that random polynomial time is not equal to NP. So how are we going to do this? So we will construct an algorithm that, given a graph G, it computes a minimum vertex cover for C. Of course, we believe that it's infeasible, so we cannot construct such algorithm. We will construct such algorithm assuming there exists a private approximation algorithm for A. So we'll take the graph G, construct the graph G prime, execute the private approximation algorithm on G prime, get an approximate the vertex cover C prime, and from this C prime we'll extract an optimal minimum vertex cover C of the graph G. So since we believe that such algorithm for vertex cover doesn't exist, this implies that there's no private approximation algorithm A. And what we do is basically a top reduction. So how do we construct G prime and C prime and so on? So the first idea is to restrict ourselves. So we will instead of solving a vertex cover, we'll solve the problem of unique vertex cover. So what is unique vertex cover? The input is the graph G, and we have the promise that G has a unique vertex cover. And the output is this minimum vertex cover. So one can think that given this promise, it might be easier to solve this problem. But this is not true. Valiant and Vazirani proved that solving the unique vertex cover problem is NP-hard. So this promise, having this promise doesn't make the problem easier. It's as hard as the original problem. So let's modify our plan. So now we're given a graph G with a unique vertex cover. We'll construct a graph G prime with a unique vertex cover, execute the private approximation on G prime, and get C prime, and from that extract the minimum vertex cover C of the original graph G. So our task is somewhat simpler. So let's see an example. This is a graph. It has a unique vertex cover, 3 and 4. So does this? So can we execute a private approximation algorithm on this graph? We can, but it can a factor 2 approximation algorithm can return 1, 2, 5, and 6, which won't help us, and a factor 3 can return the entire vertices of the graph. So we have to modify this graph. So what the way we modify the graph? We add a bunch of isolated vertices. So the first thing that we gain is that the approximation algorithm cannot return most of the vertices of the graph. But the fact that it won't return a lot of the isolated vertices won't help us. So we gain much more. I claim that the private approximation algorithm on A must return the vertex cover 3 and 4 and possibly other vertices of the graph. But it always has to return the minimum vertex cover of this graph. So how do we prove this result? So let's assume it doesn't return it. So let's assume it returns 1, 4, 5, and 200. And now let's consider another graph. It's the same graph where we change the names of these vertices. But still, the unique vertex cover is 3 and 4. So what can we say about these two graphs? They're equivalent. And we have a deterministic algorithm that gets two equivalent graphs. What we can deduce? That the output of the algorithm has to be the same. So also in this graph, it will return 1, 4, 5, and 200. But this cannot be the thing. It's not possible. This is not a vertex cover. So this is not a vertex cover, this graph. So the privacy, it couldn't return this output. So the privacy, by the privacy requirement, we deduced that it couldn't return the same output for the original graph. So what we approved, that the private approximation algorithm A must return the vertex cover and possibly other vertices. So what are the problems? The problems are the others. The algorithm can return the other vertices, and we have to get rid of them. So, for example, in this graph, it can return 3, 4, 2, and 10. So 10 is not a problem. It's an isolated vertex. So if we get the answer, we can get rid of this. But how do we get rid of the two? So the third tool that we use is the random renaming of the vertices. So we have a new numbers to the vertices. So since we renamed the names of the vertices, this is the optimal vertex cover now is 21 and 62. It's not equivalent to the original graph. So the private approximation algorithm can return a different output. So let's assume it returns this output. But we know that it has to return 21 and 62. So let's consider another random renaming. This is a random renaming where still the minimum vertex cover is 21 and 62. So these are two equivalent graphs, so it has to return the same vertex cover. And in this case, we were lucky, and the 73 and 99 are isolated vertices. And it's not that we were lucky. Since we added many isolated vertices, more than the original number of vertices in the graph, the probability that it will return only isolated vertices is very high. So this is the second claim. that with very high probability the algorithm A returns a vertex cover and isolated vertices. It won't return any original vertices from the graph. This will happen with high probability. So I want to summarize the proof. So we're proving that if RP is not equal to NP, there's no deterministic polynomial time private approximation algorithm for vertex cover. So how does the proof go? We're given graph G with a unique vertex cover. We add isolated vertices to the graph G. We randomly permute the names of the vertices. And we call the resulting graph G prime. We execute the private algorithm A and G prime. We get an answer, approximated vertex cover C prime. And the vertex cover C of the graph G are the original vertices of the original graph in C prime with the original names. So this is the algorithm. So this solves the vertex cover problem, but we know that if RP is not equal to NP, there's no such algorithm exists, and so there's no such private approximation algorithm may exist. So this is a proof. We relied on the fact that the algorithm is deterministic, that we can generalize the proof to consider the same possibility result holds for randomized algorithms. There's a little bit cheat. I said that I added RP for the sake of the proof. In the randomized case, we had to add the fact that RP is not equal to NP because we are proving infeasibility for randomized algorithms. So this is the result for randomized algorithms. And let's consider another problem, the Max Weishaupt problem. So we're given a free CNF formula phi, and we want to find an assignment alpha that satisfies the maximum fraction of its clauses. So the best approximation algorithm for this problem is 7/8, and this is optimal, the infeasibility result. And if you consider private algorithms, so we say that two formulas are equivalent with respect to this problem if they have the same set of maximal satisfying assignments. So, again, we prove that no private approximation algorithm for this problem exists. Okay, so... So we're not happy. So we're not happy, so we have to do something positive. We define algorithms that leak little information, and then we'll prove positive results for Max Weishaupt. So this is what we're going to do now. So almost private approximation algorithms were defined by Halevi et al. For functions. So what was the definition? If f is a function, we say that f psi is a private approximation, is an approximation for f that leaks k bits. If f star of x can be simulated from the value of f and x and another k bits of advice. So this is the definition, and they showed that vertex cover doesn't have a non-trivial approximation algorithm, private approximation algorithm. However, they showed that it has a factor 4 approximation algorithm that leaks 1 bit. So leaking 1 bit can help a lot. So this is basically what they do, they run the factor 2 approximation algorithm and run the result to the next power of 2. If the result was 7, we return 16. So that's the private approximation that leaks 1 bit.
What do you mean
by leak
1 bit?
So it can compute. So if you're given the value of f of x and 1 bit of advice, we can compute the output of the approximation algorithm. Okay, I'll give from definition from the first problem, it might be more clear. So what is an almost private algorithm for search versions? again we have some relation, and now we look at some refinement of this relation, and we look at two inputs. So for two inputs from the same equivalence relation, from the same equivalent class in the refined equivalent class, we require that the output of the algorithm is indistinguishable in the two cases. But for two inputs that are not in the same equivalent class of the refined relation, even if they were in the same equivalent relation of the old relation, so when we execute the algorithm, we don't have any requirement. So this is a refinement, and what we would want to say that the refined relation doesn't partition each class of the equivalent class to too many classes. So this is the definition of almost private algorithm. We say that algorithm A leaks k bits of information with respect to relation R if there exists a relation R prime such that R prime is a refinement of R, so R prime is contained in R. And every equivalent class of R is a union of at most 2 to the k equivalence classes of R prime. So this defines the relation R prime, but doesn't say anything about A yet. So we say that A is private with respect to R prime. So this is the definition of when our algorithm leaks k bits. So it basically leaks to in which equivalent class of the new relation the input lives. That is the leakage. It leaks in which equivalent class of the new relation it is. And another remark that when designing an algorithm that leaks KB, we have the freedom to choose which relation R prime we use. There should be such a relation. It's not specified by the problem, but by the algorithm. So again, can we use the ideas of a Levitt or the factor for approximation algorithm to construct private algorithm for search problems? So technically the answer is no. So a Levitt, all, as I said, they take the size of the vertex cover, look at the next power of 2 and return that as an answer. So it takes a number and round it to a different number. But how can we round the set? It doesn't work. So we cannot use the results. So what can we do? We give an almost private approximation algorithm for max exact free SAT. So the input is the SAT formula where each clause contains exactly 3 different literals. So, and 2 inputs are equivalent if they have the same set of maximum satisfying assignments. And we want to design an approximation algorithm that leaks a few bits with respect to this relation. So the first thing that we do, we look at the equivalence classes of this relation and ignore them. And now we partition the entire set of exact VSAT formulas on n variables into log n classes. And for each class, for this class, for the first class, we find an assignment that satisfies 7h minus epsilon of the formulas in this class, and we do that for each class. For each class, we find an assignment that is good for all the formulas in this class. So since this divides the entire space of formulas, it also divides each equivalence class of the SAT relation into log n classes. So formally, what we prove is we prove that for every, there's a set of order of log n assignments, alpha 1 to alpha log n, such that for every exact free sat formula phi on n variables, there exists such alpha I in the list that satisfies 7h minus epsilon of the clause of n phi. Since every assignment can satisfy only a fraction of at most one, so this is the assignment gives the approximation 7h minus epsilon of the optimal. So I won't get into the proof of the result. The idea is to construct an almost three-wise independent variables. So this is we consider the space of all the assignments which are almost three-wise independent, as defined by Naor and Naor, and also construction were given by Alon, Goda, Hassad, and Peralta. The construction has the number of assignments in this set is log n over epsilon. This is the number of assignments. So if the number of assignments is 2 to the n, and if we took three-wise independent variables, the side will be n to the third. The almost three-wise independent gives a very small space, and this is the space of the assignments by simple proof. This is this set of assignments satisfies the condition of the lemma. So this is a simple construction. Where is my mouse? Okay, so using the lemma, we prove that for every there exists a 7h minus epsilon approximation algorithm for max free sat that leaks order of log n bits. And how do we do it? We use the assignments, the log n assignments from the lemma, and for each formula, we output the, we return the first alpha I that satisfies at least 7h minus epsilon of the clause of n phi. So since each equivalent class of a relation is partitioned into log n equivalent classes of the refined equivalent class, so this leaks log of log n, so it's log n bits. So this is the algorithm, and we call this a solution list algorithm. A solution list algorithm has a short list of solutions. Every input has a good approximation in this list. And if there are two to the power k solutions in the list, the algorithm leaks k bits. This is the solution list algorithm. And so this is a solution list. So what we have further result, there's a solution list algorithm for the versus cover problem with the n to the power of 1 minus epsilon approximation that leaks 2 to the n to the epsilon bits. So this doesn't look impressive. However, this is tight. So for any approximation algorithm with this approximation ratio of n to the power 1 minus epsilon must leak omega of n to the epsilon bits. This result will appear in a paper in the following TFC. So the simple solution list algorithm is optimal in this case up to a constant. This constant is huge, but it's a constant. So in other words, approximation ratio times the leakage is omega of n. This is what we prove. Yes. What you mean by non-uniform? No. You have to be able to construct the solution list efficiently. So in the case of the max free sat, what we did with we looked at the space of three-wise independent variables, which can be constructed efficiently. it is short-lived, and we can find the first one, first assignment in the list that is good for the for given input. So this is uniform. In the versus covered case, the size of the list would be exponential, 2 to the power n, 2 to the power of n to the epsilon, something like that. It can be used. We cannot construct the entire list, but we can construct an answer for each input without constructing the entire list. So these algorithms are efficient. If the list can be constructed efficiently, or an answer from the list can be constructed efficiently, so these algorithms are efficient. And I think algorithmically it's interesting what can be done by these solution list algorithms. So I have a few minutes to talk about problem in P. So in problem in P, in search problem in P, we want to it's a private computation, it's not an approximation. We want to find a solution to a search problem. Given a graph, we want to find the shortest path from between two vertices in the graph. So first, computation of search problem in P also might leak information. The problem of the problem wasn't from the approximation, but from the search problem. So the output of a algorithm that gives a shortest path can be, we can have two graphs that are equivalent, that have the same shortest path, but the algorithm will return different outputs. So we have to take care. We have to take care when we design an algorithm for search problems in P as well. However, many search problems in P do have private algorithms. For example, if we return the lexicographically first solution, this is a private algorithm, because if you have two inputs with the same solutions, the lexicographically first one is the same. So this is true for perfect matching, shortest path, linear algebra, and more. So is a private algorithm for every problem in P? It seems natural to think that, and for natural problems in P it's true, but there's an unnatural problem in P that does not have a private computation algorithm. The problem is given a graph and a clique, return the clique. So if we create the graph and the same graph with two and which has two different cliques, it has to return the same output in the two cases. So it's basically what it does, given a graph and a clique, it has to be able to find another clique. And this is this cannot be done. So there are problems in P that cannot be computed efficiently. The third problem, privately and efficiently. Okay? So the answer, as I said, is no. And let's go into conclusions and open problems. So what we did in this paper, we defined private approximation of search problems. I believe that when designing algorithms for search problems, secure function evaluation, one should take care to think if its algorithm leaks information or doesn't leak, or what does it mean, what information the output of a search problem leaks. Unfortunately, we showed in possibility results for private approximation of versus cover, max free SAT, and in the TCC paper we show possibility results for clustering problems. Again, even if the algorithms are allowed to leak a lot of information. We defined approximation algorithm for search problems with leakage, and for max free SAT we proved positive results. And we considered the private computation of problems in P and showed that some of them do not have private computation algorithms. So what are the open problems? I said that the algorithm exists for funding agencies. So the open problem is to design more private approximation algorithms. Especially the only almost private algorithms that we know for search problems in NP, for approximation problems, for private approximation algorithms are solution-list algorithms. Can we find some algorithm for non-trivial problems that for natural problems that are not solution-list algorithms? And when we consider private computation of problem in P, so our definition was geared towards feasibility results. It says that two graphs are equivalent if they have the same sets of solutions. So so according to our definition, the algorithm can leak the entire set of solutions. So this is it's not the right sufficient definition. And the question, what is the right sufficient definition? For example, is leaking the lexicographically, is giving the lexicographically first solution good? In this case, we don't only learn a solution, we learn that this is the first solution. So is this private or not? Is giving a random solution good? So there are some scenarios that it's good, some scenarios that it's not good. And so the question, what is the right definition or right definitions for this problem, and what search problems admit efficient private computation? So we have partial results on this subject, but we're still working on it. That's all.